The rest of us can go to 1 Samuel 25. The Bible says, "And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught any missing unto them. And all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed from my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them upon asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the cover of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her. And she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he that hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by the morning light, that any that pisseth against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, Let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life, which the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies of them shall he sling out, as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath done, that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, and surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal unto his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth, and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of the Lord, of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. And David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which is of Galim. Let's stop here. Let's pray together. Lord, as we examine this chapter tonight, we're trusting you for helping us to understand it and to obey what you show us. Lord, we ask for the Holy Spirit's power in just preaching and declaring your truth, and also in the reception of your truth. Lord, help us not only to have an intellectual knowledge tonight, but Lord, may our hearts be willing to obey whatever the Spirit convicts us and encourages us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight I want to preach on the Lord restrains David. The Lord restrains David. This is an interesting chapter on how God guides us and directs us. And usually, when we think of God guiding us and directing us, we think of God prompting us to go forward. But sometimes God tries to restrain us and prevent us. Sometimes God closes a door and God says, listen, don't go any further. And this is a good instance where God used Abigail in a great way to prevent David from doing something he would have regretted the rest of his life, probably. The chapter begins with the death of Samuel, which is very sad. In fact, it says all the Israelites gathered together and lamented him. And rightly so. Samuel was a great hero of the faith. He's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 in that hall of faith. And of course, his testimony as a judge and a prophet, a great man of God. And so obviously the whole children of Israel will miss having Samuel. But interestingly, we see that, listen, God's work is not limited to just one person. His work continues to move forward. The Bible says in verse 1, Samuel died, but it also says, and David arose. So God's work was going to continue, and David was going to be the vessel that God would raise up to lead his people. So Samuel died, but David arose. But I want us to consider first tonight David's anger against Nabal. David's anger towards Nabal. The Bible tells us about this man named Nabal. His name literally means fool or folly. That's what his name means. Now, we have no idea if that's his given name or if that's just a nickname he earned. But certainly in this chapter, we see he lived up to his name. Folly, fool. And the very first thing we learn about Nabal is not even his name. The Bible mentions his possessions. I think that's telling because I think in Nabal's life, his possessions were the most important thing to him. The Bible says in verse 2, there was a man in Moab whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. So he was a very wealthy man to have all of this cattle. And at this time, this was sheep shearing season, you could say. To put it maybe in our modern economy, I know a lot of people that work in retail, and I talk to them sometimes, and they tell me, you know, we make 75% of our income in 3 months, in October, November, and December, the Christmas season. That's their harvest time for most retail, for clothing stores. That's when they make most of their money. Think about that, by the way, next time you're going Christmas shopping. But that's the harvest time. Well, for sheep shearers, this time was the harvest time. Now they're getting ready to shear the sheep and sell it. They'll make a great profit. And so Nabal was a wealthy man about to get even wealthier. So that's what's going on in this time frame. But he's a very rich man. And we know in the Bible, riches are not everything. Wealth isn't everything in life. Some people make you think that, but wealth isn't everything. One Bible teacher said this, there are four kinds of riches. There are the riches in what you have, riches in what you do, riches in what you know, and riches in what you are, your character. Nabal was a very rich man, but only rich in what he had, which is the lowest kind of riches. So his wealth was only limited to his possessions, what he had. And interestingly here, he's in this season of sheep shearing, and he's about to become very wealthy. And the custom at this time was to hold a great feast, and usually the feast would be shared with anyone that was traveling by. That was the custom, was to just be generous. Because God has blessed you now with this wealth and your sheep shearing, you're reaping this harvest, now you'll be generous to those that are passing through. But Nabal didn't think like that at all, because he was a fool, the Bible says. But interestingly, this fool, Nabal, was married to someone who was very beautiful and very wise, the Bible says. Bible says in verse 3, now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. By the way, notice the order. The good understanding came before the beautiful countenance, amen? So it's good to have beautiful wives, but hey, let's make sure there's more to it besides the surface, right? But Abigail is in sharp contrast to Nabal. She's of good understanding. She's wise. And it's interesting, how in the world did a girl like Abigail end up with a guy like Nabal? That's some of the questions that we might ask. Maybe it was an arranged marriage. We don't know. Most likely. But someone said it's amazing how many Abigails are married to Nabals. I don't want to hear anyone say amen right there. Okay, you just keep quiet, ladies. But it's amazing how many Abigails find themselves married to Nabals. And, you know, there's a lot of Nabals that are foolish, but they have godly wives. Praise the Lord for that. And so maybe the Lord's trying to help those wives to grow in their faith. That's it, right? Trying to stretch their faith. That's it. But here we see that David is staying here in the field, and he had been protecting Nabal's shepherds in the field, which was a very important thing because, you see, often the Philistines would come through, they would raid, and they knew that sheep represented money. So those Philistines, they'd come and steal the sheep or do wicked things like that. So David was protecting the shepherds, and when it comes time for sheep shearing time and this feast time, he sends his servants to ask for some compensation for his valuable service. And he comes and he says, my men here, we've been here protecting your shepherds. You can ask them. And we just ask at this day, knowing that it's the feast day, now you're reaping your harvest, we just ask whatever you have to share with us, we'd appreciate it. And some might say, well, David's doing a mafia shakedown on Nabal. And he's just saying, hey, listen, we gave you some protection, now you got to pay up. But again, this was a custom. It wasn't something that David just haphazardly did. This was a custom. Because he had been there traveling through and he was actually protecting them, the right thing, the generous thing to do would be to share. That's what the custom was during this time. David asks politely. He sends these messengers, these 10 young men, and he tells them, hey, we're coming after your harvest. So notice, they waited for after the harvest. Now that you've earned your portion, can you be generous with us and spare a share for us? But in verse 10, we see Nabal's reply. Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? Now, I don't think this was really a question about who the person David was, because after David slew Goliath, his fame was spread about abroad all Israel. I think Nabal was more like saying, who does David think he is? Who do you think you are? And then he goes on to explain in verse 11, shall I then take my bread, my water, my flesh that I have killed from my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? And he mocks David. By the way, he also implied that David was a runaway slave, runaway servant. Maybe you run away from your master. I don't know who you are. But in verse 11, he emphasizes that these are my possessions. They're my riches. I've done this. I've accomplished this. I don't have to share anything with you. That's the mark of someone that's very selfish. They always consider themselves and what they've done. Now, someone that's generous is going to say, you know what, this isn't mine, it's the Lord's. So, of course, I'll be generous with what the Lord has given me. I'll share it with those in need. That's the true generous believer would do something like that. True biblical generosity doesn't think, this is mine, and maybe I'll share a little bit with you. True biblical generosity says, it's the Lord's. And so, of course, I can be generous, and you can have some also. And David's reaction here to that wasn't a really good reaction. His reaction was, when the men came back, he said, all right, men, get your swords. Let's go to battle. And this wasn't a very spiritual reaction from David. I believe David got a little bit carnal and angry in reaction to Nabal. And he calls his men to go to action. And really, he goes to tell them, we're going to wipe out all the males in his household. That was David's plan. And he used some interesting language to define that. But he wants to wipe them out, and he is discouraged that he's asking for this, and Nabal's resisting him, and his reaction is to get his men, gird up their swords, and attack Nabal. Now, we're here in chapter 25. We looked at chapter 24 a couple weeks ago, and we saw a different David. In chapter 24, we saw David with the opportunity to kill King Saul, but there he showed restraint. He said, that's the Lord's anointed. But now that Nabal, he's ready to go. You know, maybe David wasn't as long-suffering because Nabal was beneath him. We don't know. He was reverent to someone that was over him, but now Nabal is maybe his equal or even lower, and so there's no gain from respecting him and honoring him. You know, I know people like that. Maybe you do too. Maybe on the job, you know some people that, hey man, when the boss is looking around there, that's when they're going to be respectful and doing right, but they're not respectful to anyone else. You know, there's some people that they'll treat someone right if they have a position that they can maybe use. But if you're beneath them, why do I have to be generous to you? Why do I have to be kind and courteous to you? I don't get anything out of it. And sadly, that was the spirit David had. The same David that was long-suffering to Saul was harsh in dealing with Nabal. And sometimes that's a true measure of our character. Not how we treat our superiors, but how we treat our equals or those beneath us in some way or another. That's a measure of character. But David's anger towards Nabal. But number two, thankfully, Abigail intervenes. Abigail intervenes. One of the servants who witnessed Nabal's response to David's men runs and tells Abigail that, listen, Nabal railed against David's men. He railed against them. That means he treated them with harsh language and chased them out. And these men were very good to us. They protected us. They guarded us. And we could certainly compensate them for that. It would be the right thing to do that. But Nabal chased them away. And look at verse number 16. 1 Samuel 25, verse 16 says, "They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master." See, they knew the writing on the wall. They knew David wasn't going to take this lying down. And they said, "Listen, we need to tell our master, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he," meaning Nabal, "is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." So Nabal is called churlish in the previous verse. That means he's harsh. His own name means a fool. And now he's called a son of Belial, which means a scoundrel. That's what that term means. That's a term meaning he's just a scoundrel. No one can talk to him. He's not reasonable. And so these servants are trying to intervene, and they talk to Abigail. And Abigail, in verse 18, assembles quite the feast pretty quickly. The Bible says she took haste, and she grabs all these things that are around the house. By the way, that shows that Nabal did have enough to spare. The fact that she was able to gather all of these things for a feast so quickly, it shows she didn't have to go and wait. It was right there already. They could have spared it for David and his men. But she grabs it all together, assembles it all together very quickly. And in the meantime, the Bible explains what David is talking to his men. He says, "Hey, men, we're going to go, and every male, we're going to wipe them out. All the males in the household is going to be wiped out." But we skip down to verse 23. It says, "And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face." Abigail comes and she appeals to David. I think in this chapter, the real hero, the human hero, is Abigail here. She is the one that seems to have some wisdom and some humility, which is a blessing. And she comes to David in humility, and she bows down and appeals to him. And Abigail reminds David of the promises that God had given to him. She tells him, "Listen, the Lord said he's going to make you a sure house, an enduring dynasty. The Lord said that your enemies, he'll defeat them. They'll be like a sling. He'll just send them away." And she says, "Listen, you don't have to take matters into your own hands. Let the Lord fight your battles for you." She shows some real wisdom here in appealing to David. And she guides him to look beyond just the immediate aggravation and consider the bigger picture, the promises of God. Consider what God has promised for you. And so she realized that God had his hand on David, and David had a future. David had a purpose, that he shouldn't dabble in little insignificant arguments like this. In verse number 29, she says, "Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thy enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling." She's saying, "Listen, God's been protecting you. He's going to continue protecting you. And he'll send your enemies out like a sling." That maybe reminded David of how he defeated Goliath, perhaps. Just with a sling and a stone, he was able to defeat the Philistine champion. And so David didn't have to take matters into his own hands here and get revenge. And she has some wisdom and encourages him to take a step back. And in verse 31, she says that "this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid." She tells David, don't do something you're going to regret later. Don't do something now in the heat of the moment that's going to weigh on your conscience and be an offense to you that you'll regret later. And she tells him that when God's promise is ultimately fulfilled, you don't want this to be something that's going to bring you grief, that you'll remember, that will weigh heavy on your conscience. And this was perhaps the most wise thing Abigail told David, was to wisely consider his future and consider the outcome if he took this choice to wipe out Nabal and his men. So she told David, let the Lord settle the matter instead of taking revenge into your own hands. It took a lot of wisdom. And Abigail is presented here as a model of humility, of wisdom. And I think there's some good lessons to learn from Abigail's life. But we also have to know, I believe there were some things that she also did wrong in the situation as well. She also did some things wrong. When Abigail came to David, she came secretly. And the Bible pretty much makes that clear. She didn't talk it over with her husband. She hid it from her husband. I don't think that's right to hide things from your spouse. I don't think that's right at all. I think it's good to be open and honest. Then she also spoke ill of her husband openly. She said, hey, he's foolish. His name even means foolish. And he's a scoundrel. And he's no good. And she just went down the list and let him have it. And listen, that's okay maybe if you're talking one-on-one privately, but you don't want to air some of those things out sometimes, amen? And I don't think it's wise for a wife or a husband, for that matter, to put down their spouse publicly. And sometimes people do that. Sometimes we do it unknowingly, but I think we should, in public, show that we love and reverence our spouses. So I think that was wrong. I don't think she should have put him down like that publicly so harshly. And then she even hinted a few times, remember thine handmaid, almost kind of making herself available. And so she would say, hey, remember, after everything goes down, remember thine handmaid. And so there were some things that I think she could have done better. But overall, by the way, she may have even thought, this is a life or death situation here. I have to do something. You know, my no good husband's not going to do anything, so I got to do something. So we'll give her some benefit of the doubt. But she is a good example of submission, of humility, and of wisdom in how she approached David. Every time she spoke to him, you can see how much reverence and respect she had for him. And you can see her wisdom in having him consider, what does the Lord want you to do? Don't go forward in just your passion, your anger. And that's good advice. And obviously the Lord used Abigail to restrain his king, to restrain his servant David. And, you know, there are times in our life where God has to restrain us and tell us, hey, listen, let's back off a little bit here. And we ought to be sensitive to that. And thankfully, David was sensitive, and he eventually thanks Abigail for her appeal. Verse 32, David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. So he was able to take her advice. And that showed humility on David's part too, by the way. He didn't have to listen to her. She's some woman. He never met her before. But he recognized there was wisdom there. And so praise the Lord for that. He thanks her and he receives her advice. And number three, Nabal dies and David marries Abigail. God strikes Nabal dead, the Bible says, 10 days after he has a big drunken feast. God smites him, the Bible says that. And Nabal is a picture of a sinner who rejects God and continues going on rejecting God, living for the things of this world. And so God strikes him and judges him. And this reminds us of the parable Jesus told about the rich fool. In fact, let's go there to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Man, that's one of the greatest sins in America today is covetousness, materialism. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And that, I think, is a great reminder of how Nabal lived his life. He was just like that rich fool. He lived for the things of this world, not realizing one day you're going to die and leave it for someone else to enjoy. Think about that. All the wealth you're working so hard to accumulate, someone else is just going to enjoy it one day. And so don't be so concerned about laying up treasure for yourself here on earth. Lay up treasure in heaven. The Bible commands us to do. That way we can enjoy it for all eternity. But Nabal was a rich fool. By the way, when we read the scriptures, we see a lot of negative things about wealthy people, but that doesn't mean wealth equals sin or wealth equals wickedness. There were wealthy believers too, like Abraham and Job and others. And those wealthy believers used what God gave them for the Lord's work and for God's glory. So we thank God for that. But Nabal didn't. Nabal was a fool. And he was judged by God, and God struck him dead. And David comes and he marries Abigail in verses 39 through 44. We read about that. And now some might ask, is this appropriate, what David did? He took Abigail as his wife. Well, the writer here explains that David's first wife, Michal, was given away. Saul probably did that to spite David. His first wife, Michal, was given away. And now he comes and he marries Abigail. But what makes it really bad is in verse 43, it says he also took Ahinoam. So now he takes two wives. And so we see some of David's passions coming out, and it's not the way God would intend it. God's plan is 1 + 1 = 1. That's it. God's plan is for oneness. God created Adam and Eve. And God's plan is for a marriage, united husband and a wife, forever, for life. That's always been God's plan from the beginning. When the Pharisees came to attack Jesus, he brought them back to the beginning. God created a male and female. God's plan is for one man, one woman, for life. And so some say, well, God approved of David's sin. No, God never approved of David's polygamy and adultery. God never approved of it. The Bible records it for us because the Bible is an accurate description of what happened. It's telling us what happened, but it doesn't mean God approved of it. But in fact, if you know the story of David's life, some of the worst trials David has comes from his family life. Some of the worst trials are going to come from the decisions that he makes to take on many more wives, by the way. He's going to go through many trials because of that. And even his son Solomon goes through many trials because of that. So this was inappropriate and went against God's plan for marriage. But when we look at this story overall, this is a story of humility triumphing over pride. This is a story of how when God says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's God's plan for us, to be humble servants. Humility triumphing over pride. Abigail goes from a simple, humble handmaid to being the wife of a future king. She goes from obscurity to now being mentioned in the pages of Scripture. And Abigail showed that she was a very humble woman. This also shows us that sometimes God, in his providence, has to prevent us from going forward with something. I think it's wise if we're making a decision, Lord, if it's not your will, make it clear and stop it dead in its tracks. I remember when me and my wife were dating, that was one of the prayers I prayed. In fact, we both prayed the same prayer. We didn't even know it. But we said, Lord, if it's not your will, just stop it. We don't want to go forward with something that you don't want. Even if we want it, it's not about what we want, it's about what you want. And whatever decision we have to make, Lord, if it's not your will, just stop it dead in its tracks. Make it clear and prevent me, restrain me. And that's what God had to do in David's life. He providentially restrained him. And so we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to the Lord's leading, when he pushes us forward, and also when he pushes us back and restrains us. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's promptings. We also need to realize what Abigail did is what Jesus commended. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. It's good, it's a good thing for people, Christians, everybody, to follow peace with all men. The Bible says follow peace with all men, so as much as we can. Sometimes, you know what, there's just sometimes you just can't help it, can you? There's going to be somebody that they don't want to get along with you. That's okay. You can still love them and pray for them. But this shows we should as much as possible be peacemakers. Peacemakers. And Abigail was a good peacemaker. She saw a conflict and she saw there could be a resolution here. Let's just trust God here and do the right thing. And so what a blessing to be a peacemaker and have peace. And thankfully God will continue to use David. He's going to continue advancing. God has a plan for his life. But along this road that he's on, he's still on the run, God is teaching him some important lessons that will help him in his role as a king. So I think as we're on our journey, as Christians, we're being disciples, we're growing in Christ. He's teaching us things along the way. But we got to be mindful to learn those lessons. Let's pray together.